Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
That's right, friends. You've been waiting for the podcast that talks about the things you love. Well, go no further, because you've reached the Power Cosmic Podcast. Each week, legendary Comic-Con promoter Mitch Halleck of the Terrific Con and legendary finder of lost things John Cimino of Saturday Morning Collectibles at the Raynham Flea Market, booth A89 and 90, will talk about the stuff you love. Now sit back and talk about comics, TV, movies, toys, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to a special edition of the Power Cosmic Podcast. I am not joined by your normal host, John Cimino. In fact, this time we have a caller on the line who's listened to the show, and he has a profound observation, if you will, about the latest cinematic escapades of our favorite comic book heroes on the big screen. Joining us right now on the Power Cosmic Podcast is Professor Green Thumb. Hello, Professor.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm all right, Professor. Now, you're a longtime comic book fan?
Yes, very much so.
Well, I am just bewildered by what you told me here, and I didn't see it there. You have a very unique way of looking at things, Dr. Green Thumb.
I do. Very unique perspective, so to speak.
How do you account for this, like, unique third eye vision towards things?
Expansion of the mind. Expansion of the mind through rituals and exercises.
Expansion of the mind. Okay, are you trying to say you watch these films while being enhanced somehow?
Sure. We could say that. I think that's fairly accurate.
Is this Dr. Green Thumb? Is this an honorary title, or is this something you went to school for?
It certainly isn't my Christian name, I'll tell you that. But yes, I do have somewhat of a degree.
All right. It's not professor, it's doctor.
Doctor, I prefer doctor.
I see. So Mr. Green Thumb is out.
Yeah, Mr. No. I did not spend 7 years in medical school.
All right.
Can you call Mr.?
Now, you were talking to me yesterday, and I said I have to put this on tape. You're talking about the latest big screen version of the Justice League. The first time ever DC Comics has gathered together their famous heroes, Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, The Flash, and even Superman and Cyborg, to go on the big screen. It didn't do as well as they thought, but it did do some decent numbers. And they finally have something equivalent to Marvel's cinematic juggernaut that started with Iron Man and continued on with Thor, Captain America, the Hulk, and of course, the humongous hit, The Avengers. Now, you called me up and you said, I don't know if you're aware of this, but in essence, what is your theory about The Avengers and the Justice League films?
Basically the same movie, is it not? Aliens from outer space come down to Earth looking for a cube, or with a cube of some sort. Right? But hell-bent on taking over the world and dominating it. Your most powerful character doesn't show up till halfway through the film, and it pretty much helps change the tide in battle. You got two rich guys with toys leading the way, or trying to bring everybody together. Right?
Yeah.
There's so many stories that overlap. There's so many themes between both movies and other life. It's ridiculous. Now, that's not to say that I didn't like Justice League. Just plenty to enjoy. Plenty to enjoy about that movie, I did. But it's almost like Joss Whedon just went in and said, oh yeah, I can do this again. You know? A perfect example, Aquaman and Thor. They're pretty much the equivalent, are they not?
Well, step back a minute here. You're trying to tell me, beyond the obvious plot lines of aliens from space invading the movie, the Avengers, you have the Chitauri, and in this one you have the parademons coming in from Apocalypse in the Justice League film. In the Marvel Avengers movie, you had Loki, a god-like creature who is in possession of the Tesseract, a.k.a. the Cosmic Cube, that he is using to open this portal. And you're saying in the Justice League film, we have Steppenwolf, who is also one of the sons, or I can't remember the relationship between him and Apocalypse.
Uncle,
that's right. Okay, so it's close. There's their family ties there. And he is trying to open a dimension or a portal with the boom tube using the mother boxes to open the gateways to let the parademons and the forces of Apocalypse invade the Earth. Okay, there is a similarity there. I'll give that to you. All right.
For Darkseid, yelling it out there. And granted, yeah, I know the end credits of the Avengers tease Thanos, but Thanos and Darkseid, both movies set up the bigger threat. Did they not? Right? You saw Thanos at the end of Avengers. We all know Steppenwolf is just a precursor to Darkseid. It's coming. It's almost formulaic at this point, the way they've done these movies.
Well, it has been said, in fact, on the show, that quoted by Mr. John Cimino, that Jim Starlin, creator of Thanos, has said that he is nothing but a shell or a pale version of the Jack Kirby created Darkseid. So you are right there, Dr. Green Thumb.
Well, hold on a second. I don't necessarily know that I agree with that whole statement, because now that Thanos has had his whole story and everything fleshed out, and Thanos got his own theory, granted, yes, there are similarities visually between Thanos and Darkseid, but Thanos is a pretty complex, rich character.
Well, okay.
At least now. But we digress if we want to start.
We digress because you're going to argue with Mr. Jim Starlin, creator of the character, the cosmic creator behind Marvel's weirded out universe. Now, we're not going to go there right now. You're good, Dr. Sure. Green Thumb, but you, sir, are no Jim Starlin.
No, I don't know what I claim to be.
All right. Now, going back to the movies, you have Bruce Wayne, billionaire, philanthropist, playboy. In Marvel, you have Tony Stark, billionaire, philanthropist.
He used that exact phrase to describe himself.
Playboy, yes, and he has no superpowers on his own. Unlike the rest of the team of the Avengers, Iron Man is nothing without his suit and toys. Bruce Wayne is nothing without his gadgets and his special suit and all that, because he's just an ordinary guy. So there is your similarity for those two. I will give you that. Now, we have Thor, God of Asgard. You're saying his equivalent in this film. Now, Thor wields a hammer. We have Aquaman wielding a trident, the Poseidon's trident, I guess. And he is also a king or a godlike creature from another race, the Atlanteans.
Yes.
They both begin with the letter A. We'll even get that far with that. And they end with an N as well. Okay. Who would be your equivalent to the World War I hero of Wonder Woman, who's been gone for 100 years or so, and now has returned to fight the modern enemies that face the world? Who would that be?
I mean, Captain America from World War II? I mean,
let's see.
One of our heroes trying to make it through in the year today. You know what I mean? The only difference was that she wasn't frozen.
Yeah, let's see. They both wield a shield.
There you go.
All right, Captain America.
The similarities are all there. You can see it. It overlaps. I sat down watching this episode. I'm like, I've seen this movie before. Now, that's not to say I didn't like it. I did. There was a lot about that movie I liked. There was some stuff I didn't like. But the similarities were just, there's so many there to be pointed out.
All right, well, we'll go one step further. There is no cyborg in the Marvel films. What do you think about that?
Listen, it's hard to bat 1,000 in MLB, isn't it?
Yeah.
You gotta have some kind of difference. So okay. There they go. If you were gonna compare Cyborg to somebody, I mean, the closest thing would be Iron Man.
Okay, so they basically split up Iron Man and put him in two different characters. Alright, that's fine. I'll give you that. Now,
you know, like, there's some originality there. There's no doubt, but when you look at a lot of different things, it's just the overlap is so prevalent. How could you not notice
it? I didn't notice at all. I did think the Mother Box and the Infinity Gems were kind of similar when we were watching the films. I was like, hey, isn't this kind of like Marvel?
Right. And yes.
And then the bigger one, the bigger shocker, is the return of Superman at the end of the film to save the day. This ultra super-powered being who's stronger than all the other people. And you're saying that would basically be the Hulk in the Marvel movie.
Yeah, you don't see the character, or he's not introduced, or doesn't become a factor until, you know, a little bit more than halfway through the movie, where they are the catalyst for the for their team winning, right?
Yeah.
That's what it is. The Hulk is kind of the cause of the Avengers when they're fighting the Chitauri in New York, and Superman probably could have been Steppenwolf by himself.
Pretty much, yeah.
And he doesn't come back till halfway through the movie when, you know, when Batman has a wonderful revelation. Hey, let's bring him back from the dead. Which, you know, the way they brought, the way they came about bringing Superman back, and the way the Steppenwolf was appearing at the end, those are two things I had problems with.
You didn't like them putting Clark Kent's lifeless body in the Kryptonian ooze and bringing him back?
Yeah, I mean, I understand the necessity to do it that way because Batman felt like he had to rewrite it wrong. I'm just not a fan of that. That just seemed kind of lazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it did seem like a magic box. Like, oh, let's go do this. So throw him in the Prometheus pit. One could say, why don't they just throw the Doomsday body back into that swill and bring it back again?
Right. So, that's my thoughts on that. Steppenwolf at the end, his own parademons attack him and bring him home because he's scared?
Yeah, that was a little bit like the flying monkeys turning on the Wicked Witch. They took her off.
Right. Exactly. It's, I don't know. Lazy to me.
And they just kind of all disappeared.
Right. And those are two things that I didn't like. And there was plenty to like in the movie. But overall,
yeah, you know what that's equivalent to? How the Chitauri magically just fell down at the end of Avengers once the mothership was blown up with the nuke.
That's a little more believable, though.
That reminded me of Episode 1 in Star Wars when all the power droids just fall over because, you know, the remote control droid ship has been destroyed, you know?
Right.
A little bit too much.
I mean, yeah, like, I'm more of a fan of originality in these movies. You know what I mean? I want to see stuff I haven't seen before. That's why I'm so excited to see the Black Panther movie, because I think that's going to be different.
How so?
It's a setting you don't normally get to see, okay? I think the concept of Wakanda, a country in Africa, most technologically advanced in the world, a guy like T'Challa, who is a very compelling character. I think it's going to be beautifully visually. I think they have a fantastic cast. And, I don't know, just from what I saw, it looks great. It looks absolutely great. I've always liked the character, and I have high expectations for it. I really do.
All right. You think it's not going to be your typical superhero formula?
I mean, listen, they're all going to have their own same type of formulas. The superhero movie to begin with is a genre unto itself. It's the equivalent of the spaghetti western, or the westerns you watch when you were kids, right?
Right.
All the Clint Eastwood movies and all that stuff. That's what the superhero movie has become. So there's going to be a formula to them no matter how you look at it. There's going to be elements that are just prevalent across the board in all of these movies. So, yes, there will be that way. But I think visually, I think character-wise, I like the cast. I think I have high expectations for that. High expectations.
Kind of like the buddy film, the cop movie, the bromance. They're all the same story.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Hollywood's been turning out the same stuff with different packaging for years, right?
Yeah.
When was the last time you saw a truly innovative film where you were like, oh my God,
I've ever seen in my life. I thought Blade Runner 2045 was pretty good, but it was a sequel, so it wasn't an original idea anyway.
There you go, and I'm sure it was great. And you know what's sad? As good as that movie was, it was a box office failure.
Of course it was, yeah.
Because you know, the population nowadays doesn't, I don't know that they don't appreciate it, I just don't think they understand it. They can't really...
They don't have the patience for it. They want that instant gratification.
Right. You can't. Good things don't come that way.
No. Dr. Green Thumb, you're very profound this morning.
Like I said, my third eye keeps me open. I keep my third eye open, so I'm good.
Is it harder to wear sunglasses when you have a third eye?
Absolutely not. I have an immunity, so to speak.
I see. Well, I mean, you've shocked us all. Next thing you're going to say that Wonder Woman and Captain America the First Avenger are the same movie.
You could make that. One could make that argument.
I said that when I saw it.
You could make, I mean, it was a bit different. The characters aren't, we're talking about a god versus a super soldier. So, yeah, there's going to be a little bit of discrepancy. But I don't know that you're out of line saying that the similarities are there, too. You could almost do this back and forth versus. You could take parts of Batman versus Superman and compare that to any one of the Iron Man movies. No?
Yeah.
Okay. You could take... Problem is that DC just doesn't have the catalog that Marvel has. If that makes, you know what I mean? So DC's late to the party, essentially. Right?
Yeah.
They waited. Marvel's what? 14, 15 films deep?
At least.
They're what? 3-4 films
deep? They're 5. This Justice League would be the 5th in the relaunch of the DC cinematic world.
Right. They're late to the party. And the way they differentiate themselves is they make everything dark and brooded.
Yeah.
Every scene is shot very dark. You
that
know?
Didn't work
every
too
scene,
well.
You feel like it's the end of the world, the whole movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, I get it. I understand that, but I don't know. I felt like Avengers was a better balance of comedy,
yep,
and action and character development. Like, Marvel did such a good job. I don't know what DC's trying to just be different and do it their way. You know?
Yeah.
But what did you really expect you were going to see when, you know, Zack Snyder had to drop out of the project for tragic reasons, and then you bring in Joss Whedon to come finish it up? He's like, oh, yeah, you know what? I can do this. I did this before. Let's do this. It worked.
Yeah.
Let's see what happened.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, it was the same writer and the director of the other two films. Too bad he didn't take his advice on Avengers 2, Age of Ultron. Which was a little long tooth, a little long winded.
Yeah, I felt like I like James Spader's portrayal for sure. Ultron is such a nuanced character. There's so much to him. I felt like they just kind of superficially threw him out there.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I feel. Never mind the fact that I'm a traditionalist. I know that Iron Man had nothing to do with his creation. You know, that should have been Hank Pym all the way. I don't understand the way they've done some things, but like,
well, that's because
the whole Hank Pym Ultron dynamic is something that should have been, that was pretty, I don't know, the way I want to say it.
And they could have still did it because they set up that there was an old Hank Pym in the form of Michael Douglas. So there was that element there. You know, even if they just threw that sentence out somehow in the movie, like one line of dialogue, like, oh, isn't this based on the PIM principle of robotics or something, you know?
There you go. There could have some kind of little throwback, some kind of thing there.
Yeah. You're looking forward to, here's next year's lineup of films. Let's see if Dr. Green Thumb is all of this cracked up to be. I'm going to throw out the big movies from 2018. You tell me if it registers on the Green Thumb meter as a hit or a flop. Ready? Starting off, we've already talked about it. Black Panther opening in February 2018. Big hit?
Very excited for that movie.
Yeah, okay. But is it going to be a big hit box office wise?
Yes.
Okay.
I think yes.
All right. Then we quickly move on to April, where we have the debut of Marvel's New Mutants. This is not a Marvel film. This is a Fox film in their X-Men Mutant series. What do you think about the New Mutants being a hit?
Lukewarm.
Okay.
Lukewarm. It has a chance. I'm not holding my breath. And that's not because I don't like the characters or anything like that. Fox is pretty hit or miss with their... the way they've handled Marvel properties, right?
Yeah.
So if it's not Hugh Jackman playing Wolverine, or Deadpool, kind of hit and miss.
All right.
I don't know. I don't know that they fully understand how to use these characters the best way, which is why, God forbid, if this rumor that Disney is buying the Fox television and movie properties, if this ever comes true, and this all comes back into the Disney fold, that's going to be the best thing to the property.
All right. Now we go, finally, in May, to the long-awaited, 10 years in the making, the ultimate end of the Marvel Cinematic Phase 1, 2, and 3, the Avengers Infinity War, hit or miss?
Financially, it'll be a hit. There's no doubt about it. It really depends on how well... That's gonna depend on two things to me, okay? It would depend on how Josh Brolin's portrayal of Thanos is.
Yeah.
I gotta feel like the Mad Titan is the same SOP I was reading about in the comic books.
Right.
And when you have that many characters, that many heroes who have to interact and be together, it really depends like on how much of each you see. How are you gonna integrate and use all these characters together? Because they've built up such a long roster. It's going to be hard to make fans of all these movies happy.
You really think you're going to be able to fit 60-something, I think they say 65 superhero characters in one two-hour, maybe two-and-a-half-hour film. That's a lot, huh?
That is a lot. It's a lot to pay service to. It is. One thing I'm looking forward to in that movie is I really want to see how they portray the Black Order. That's what I want to see.
Really?
Yeah, I'm curious to see that. Because they're a relatively new construct. I think they made their debut right around the time of Avengers Infinity.
Yeah.
Those characters, I'm curious to see how they portray them.
Well, we'll have to see. We'll have to see that. There was photos released just yesterday of the cast, and there's everybody is there from the Wasp to, I can't think of his name right, Wong, Doctor Strange's... Servant Butler. Yep. Yeah, he's in the film too. Everybody's in it. Everybody. Wouldn't be surprised if Agent Coulson showed up. All right, so then we go over there. Now we go to... I skipped one. No, wait a second. No, June shows us the return of Deadpool in Deadpool 2. What do you think about that one?
Box office gold.
Okay.
Box office gold.
Josh Brolin, back-to-back, doubleheader. He plays a villain in Marvel's Thanos... And now he's going to be playing a hero as Cable. What do you think about that?
He's come a long way since Jonah Hex, huh?
Come a long way since the Goonies.
That's very true.
I wonder if he still has that headband.
First of all, I haven't and always will be a huge Ryan Reynolds fan. There's not much in him I've seen that I don't like. And that's just me personally.
Right.
I thought his Deadpool portrayal was great. He's hysterical as that character. Probably was the only choice there wouldn't be to play that character. I think the introduction of Cable, who is one of my favorite X-Men characters, is going to be fantastic. And I can't wait to see it. It's going to be box office gold. I'm sure you saw the teaser. That was brilliantly done. Brilliantly done.
All right, and then rounding out the
summer... That's going to be box. I wouldn't be surprised if it broke its own record for R-rated movie, highest grossing.
All right, in early July, we see DC return to the big screen with Aquaman starring Jason Momoa. You looking forward to that?
I am looking forward to that because I like Jason Momoa and I like the Aquaman character. Whether or not it's box office gold remains to be seen. It does have some things going for it. I'm a fan of his, and I think it's got a good chance. It really just depends on how they market it.
Yeah,
who they're putting in it. Like, is it going to be him and Black Manta? I mean, that's only the starting point, no?
Yeah.
Or is it his brother that he's fighting?
Black Manta.
It really depends.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll see.
Right.
And then rounding out.
So
the
I mean,
what?
No, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, and then rounding out the summer after Aquaman would have. Ant-Man and the Wasp, the sequel to the Ant-Man film starring Paul Rudd and Evangeline Lilly as the Wasp. This will be, I wonder if it's a prequel or a post Avengers Infinity War film. We don't know.
I think it's going to end up being post, because I mean they could change it, but they've been pretty linear in their movies. Yeah. The way they released them with the Marvel Cinematic Universe timeline. I think it'll be good. I think it'll end up making money for Marvel. I think it'll end up being a positive success. Because when the first Guardians of the Galaxy and the first Ant-Man came out, people had no expectations. Who the hell are these characters? Why do I give two shits about them? And those movies ended up being surprise hits, and they were fantastic. Both of them. Both of them were really good. I like Paul Rudd. I like Michael Douglas. And Michael Peña was great in that movie. And I'm just curious to see how they take it from here. I'm curious to see, you know, who they're setting them up against. Who are they going against? I mean, is it Egghead? Who are they going against?
I don't know. I haven't looked at who the villain is for that one. They haven't really said much about it. So.
Well, it's Marvel. They don't say much about a lot of things.
Oh, and then I think that's it for Marvel. Yeah, three movies next year. They're doing three a year. And then the following year in 2019, we have Avengers 4, which might be the whole new lineup of the new team. We have Captain Marvel, the female version of the hero. And their next Marvel movie, I don't know what would be after that.
Wouldn't that be the Homecoming sequel?
Yeah, it's Homecoming. I was going to say Guardians of the Galaxy 3, but I don't think that's coming out till 2020, I think.
Yeah, Mike, that sounds about right.
Yeah, and that's that. That sounds See? About right. Well, there you go. That's a lot of movies. And then DC, I think by then they'll have Wonder Woman 2 coming out in theaters.
Well, I heard it was interesting because the Flash movie that they're going to end up doing is going to be the Flashpoint.
So
not going to be, you know, just an origin story or, you know, him looking for his father. But they're going to do the whole Flashpoint.
With the Thomas Wayne Flash character, movie. Too?
The Thomas Wayne character, the, you know, the Aquaman, Wonder Woman married and plotted against story from the beginning. All kinds of stuff. Like, that's what they're going with.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
It is. It is. It's a surprise road to take. But we'll have
to... Yeah, I mean, it's really going to depend. I mean, you're going to make that movie good, you know, you want to keep Barry Allen as that funny comedic guy that you saw in Justice League, but there's a lot of depth to that character and in that storyline that he's going to have to pull off. Can't just be wisecracking jokes the whole time. Buddy.
No, that tone is too serious for that type of show.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've heard that. What else? I think you're right, though. I think that's everything that's coming through. I know that after Avengers 4, that Spider-Man movie is going to kick off Phase 4 for Marvel.
Avengers. I heard James Gunn himself speak at the HasCon in Rhode Island, and he said he is being tapped to steer the cinematic universe of Marvel after the Avengers Infinity thing wraps up, so he's going to be at the helm, like the new Joss Whedon. That's a good idea.
It is. It is a good idea. It's just that's a big job to have on your plate.
Yeah,
that's a big job to have on your plate.
No
doubt.
Don't you think? No doubt, Dr. Greenthumb, you do speak some words of wisdom there. To wrap this up, as we typically do, it's been a half an hour, and I know Dr. Greenthumb has some gardening he has to get to. Amazingly, you did like the Inhumans miniseries, correct?
Correct, I did.
It was a small-scale version of Marvel's Inhumans, created by Jack Kirby and Stan Lee. Budget for TV, it had the effects one would expect from making an Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. typical episode. What was the standout performance in that series, sir?
There was three that I really, really enjoyed. Okay. I like Maximus the Mad.
Yeah.
Because I'm a fan of Ewan Rian. I like him. I thought he did a pretty good portrayal. I liked Karnak a lot, just because I've always been a huge fan. And Ken Long, he just, I don't know. I really liked his take on him and the way he did it. Even though they strayed from his storyline, it looked like he had already gone through Terra Genesis, which we all know he didn't go through in the comic books because of what happened to his brother Triton.
Yep.
I liked Black Bolt, believe it or not. I thought Anson Mount did a great job for a role where you really can't talk, and it's all about the expressiveness of your eyes, and, you know, basing your performance on that. Yeah. That's a difficult thing to do. I thought he did a great job. And those are the performances I loved, and I'm sorry, no matter what. If I could see Lockjaw on screen, that does it for me. I'm good.
Yeah, Lockjaw.
Lockjaw was great. Yeah, yeah, and Crystal wasn't exactly hard on the eyes.
No, Crystal wasn't. And I was a fan of the actress that played Medusa when she was Zatanna on Smallville years ago. Back in her
prime. Yeah, I could take the lead.
Yeah.
I guess. Gorgon wasn't the best to me.
Yeah. He was the weakest.
He was okay.
One. He was the weakest one, I thought. Then this week has Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming back on Friday, and they're going to be floating in space battling aliens. Don't know what the hell that's about.
I think it's the Brood, no?
It looked like.
Isn't that kind of what it looked like?
It did when I saw the commercials, but I was like, are they allowed to use that, or is that an X-Men thing? So.
Well, maybe the pending sale isn't so pending.
I don't know. I think this is the last year for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I don't know. What I do know is that they hit that magic 100 episode mark.
Yeah.
Which, you know, just helps them in terms of syndication and whatnot. Do I think it's the end? Maybe. Maybe. But it kind of doesn't make sense because Marvel should always have some kind of presence on television. Right?
Yeah.
So they have that gifted show that Fox has.
Yep.
There's, you know, the great CW shows. There's the Gotham show that Fox has as well. Marvel needs a regular series like that on network TV, not just Netflix or Hulu or wherever. You need something like that.
Yeah.
So the question is if this goes away, what's taking its place? And I also think that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did a good job tying itself into other movies. The way it tied into Winter Soldier. The way it tied into Avengers, the second Avengers. There's always something there to make you feel like it's all related.
Yeah.
Which is something that was kind of rare for a while.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I tell you, Dr. Green Thumb, you've opened our eyes here in a positive way. You've probably been the most upbeat, positive guest on the Power Cosmic since the show's inception over a year and a half ago. Usually we just complain about how things aren't the way they used to be and why things suck. But you are here to tell us they don't suck, that there actually is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not an oncoming train. Real quick, what are you reading this week in the comic book shops, Marvel or DC or both?
Oh, I read both. I read select titles every week. I really like that Thanos 13 that came out this week. I like that a lot.
Oh, I thought
that was great.
I didn't even pick that one up. I did read the Doomsday Clock, the DC's infusion of the Watchmen universe into their normal universe. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I saw that. It's just, I don't know. I read that. I liked it, of course. I mean, anytime I can see the Watchmen, it's written. It really just depends on how they handle it, honestly. Yeah. Like, these are classic characters that Alan Moore did not want touched. He did not want touched. It was known that he didn't want them touched. And now they're doing something here. It really depends on how they handle it. I like the concept. I think that's pretty good. I read. What else came out this week? That was good. What else was on your list?
I just had my new stack of books over here somewhere. I continued picking up some of the Marvel Legacy books. Last week we had the Shang-Chi, the Master Kung Fu, was a couple weeks ago. Last week was, what was the new one that came out last week? The Search for Tony Stark continued in Iron Man.
I read that.
Yeah, and I picked up.
I read that.
Picked up a Star Wars comic. I'm trying to go through. I picked up the Doomsday Clock. There wasn't a lot that I got last week.
Right.
Let's see. Was there any number ones last week? I'm trying to think if they relaunched.
No, I think a lot of it was a continuation.
Yeah, the big legacy switch at Marvel. They got a bunch of new.
I really like that one that came out a week or two ago. Was it there? Metal tie-in, the Batman Who Laughs.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Got that.
I really enjoyed that.
You're a big Scott Snyder fan, are you?
Scott and Greg, both. Yeah. What they've done with Batman is fantastic. I can't wait to see. There's all kinds of Easter eggs and stuff planned for that they planted in that issue.
Yeah.
Like, I guess there was something in the bookshelf. If you're looking, when there's when Grandpa Batman is reading the story of the baby, there's a book on the shelf that's like supposed to tease stuff going forward after metal.
Yeah.
Curious to see what they do.
That was the highlight of your summer, seeing the two of them at Terrific Con, wasn't it?
That was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Best show I've been to in years.
There you go. See, you can't get better than that. Well, Dr. Green Thumb, it's almost time for the witching hour here. I know you've got to go. Thank you very much for being a guest today. You'll have to drop in again sometime soon and give us your thoughts, maybe on the new Star Wars film, because we know John Cimino hates Star Wars and will not be seeing it when it opens in a couple weeks. So maybe you can come
up. What kind of American is this guy? Who doesn't see Star Wars?
He's an old, decrepit, cranky person who just sells dreams. He finds old Migos. He finds old toys. He called me the other day with a pile of Star Wars toys from the early 80s that he bought for only $200, and some of them worth hundreds already. He's making money on people's memories, and he doesn't have a problem with that.
My problem is if we're going to sit here and just talk about how everything sucks and everything's wrong, why aren't we ever talking about what's right? Why aren't we ever talking about what's good? You know what I mean?
I do, Dr. Green Thumb.
A lot of effort goes into making these movies and things. Like, why aren't people, you know, nothing is going to be perfect. No movie, no book, no form of, nothing's going to be perfect. Now, you can sit here and be a cynical asshole and pick everything apart, or you can try to find the positive, which is what I try to do.
We actually did love something. We did a whole hour last week on Netflix's The Punisher. So we
were on Punisher.
We both sang The Punisher's praises on how great it was.
Okay.
So it does happen. He's more of a cranky. He stopped reading comic books, he'll tell you, in 2003. His favorite character is the Hulk, and he's hated the depiction of the Hulk since that time. So.
This gentleman sounds like I'd have a good conversation with him. The Hulk is probably my favorite as well.
Oh, the Hulk,
and
really?
Are we talking pre-World War Hulk? Are we talking...
Well, yeah, 2003
would be pre... World War Hulk is when he came back, Planet Hulk. I mean, are we talking? There's a lot of depth to Bruce Banner, and there's been some very good stories with him done over the years since 2003, in my mind.
Yeah, well, he thinks it. His least favorite run was the Peter David Smart Hulk. He'll tell you that.
But the Gray Hulk one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, he's nuts about that. He hates the whole Amadeus Cho character. He thinks it's a betrayal of the original character. It's got to go. It's got to go.
What that is, it's consistent with what Marvel has done, trying to modernize a lot of its heroes, right?
Right.
You can't keep using the same, I mean, you could. You could keep using the same guys over and over again. But at some point, you have to introduce new blood, correct?
Well, his whole problem with Marvel starts around 2003, around the Axel Alonso time, and he goes on about how they became too PC, they changed everything, and they ruined the fundamental basis of what Marvel was.
By diversifying,
he said it's fine if you have different versions of certain characters, but you can't change Spider-Man, you can't change Iron Man, you can't change Captain America, you can't turn those people off and replace them with somebody else. That's his big problem with it all.
Not necessarily replacing them. Okay, so what? So it's not a good idea to have Miles Morales along with Peter Parker? It's not a good idea to have Riri Williams along with Tony Stark when he eventually comes back? Right? It's not a good idea to... there's tons of examples in Marvel. It's not a good idea to bring younger X-Men back like there was before, just to bring some fresh blood in there. I don't necessarily see the problem. Or, you know, making Laura Kinney Wolverine.
I don't know.
I look at it. Look, you got it. At some point, you have to start attracting younger viewers, younger audience. This is how you do it. Younger characters, more culturally diverse characters.
Well, his theory is it's a dying medium and it's over. That's what he says all the time. It's over.
Yeah, I don't know. That's his opinion. Lord knows he's entitled to it. God bless him. I don't see that. I don't see how you have any success without evolving or changing. And that's what they try to do.
Well, Dr. Green Thumb, you should come on one day and I'll have a three-way conversation with all of you. We can all fight about it.
So. Yeah, I'd love that. I love to do more than argue.
There you go. And it's not always an argument. It's not done out of anger. It's done out of a different point of view, as they say in the Star Wars world.
I apologize. Let me rephrase.
Well, nothing out of more than there's no apology. The Jedi and the Sith, they're the same people. They use the Force different ways. Not a problem. I don't understand why Luke was so hell-bent on taking down the Emperor and his guys just because he had a different philosophical view. Kind of a terrorist, if you ask me.
Luke was?
Yeah.
This is a whole other podcast we'll have to speak about.
All right. All right, Dr. Green Thumb, you got to go. It's time to go. You told
Thank
me.
Thank you.
Right?
Thank you. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you for calling. And that wraps up another episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast, the only podcast fueled by the energy protruding or profuting or whatever from the pores of fans just like you. Good night.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.